Unprepared to engage Mormon missionaries when they knock on your door? Perhaps the book Mormonism 101 will help. Mormonism 101, published by Baker Book. Available at your favorite Christian bookstore. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We continue looking at an article that was in the April 2019 edition of Ensign Magazine titled, We Have to Be Clean. The Savior Invites Us to Be Worthy to Return to Our Father, capital Father. It was written by Alan D. Haney. He is with the General Authority 70. That would be known as the First Quorum of the 70. And it's an excerpt taken from a talk that he gave in General Conference back in October of 2015 that was titled, Remembering in Whom We Have Trusted. He starts off by telling the story about how his grandmother was staying with him when he was a boy, and he went out to play with some of his friends, and they made a big, huge hole in the dirt and then filled it with water and then proceeded to use it as a miniature swimming pool. But when he comes home, he says that his grandmother met him at the door and refused to let him in the house because he was wet and muddy. Finally, I asked her what I had to do to come into the house, and he says that he had to stand in the backyard while she sprayed me off with a hose. And after what seemed like an eternity, she pronounced me clean and let me come into the house. Now, naturally, he's telling this story, as he says, it's a real-life parable of sorts to explain what Latter-day Saints must do if they hope to get into the kingdom of God, to be in the presence of Heavenly Father. But he goes on to explain about this being sprayed off by his grandmother in the last column. What does he say there, Eric?
Standing outside while being sprayed off by my grandmother was unpleasant and uncomfortable. But being denied the opportunity to return and be with our Father in heaven because we chose to remain dirtied by a mud hole of sin would be eternally tragic. We should not deceive ourselves about what it takes to return and remain in the presence of our Father in heaven. We have to be clean.
Let me stop you there, Eric, because he does make a statement that I did mention earlier in this series. When he says we should not deceive ourselves about what it takes to return and remain in the presence of our Father in heaven, we have to be clean, which of course is the title of this article. I was mentioning earlier in the week how we have come across Latter-day Saints who try very hard to sound almost like evangelicals when it comes to their forgiveness of sin. And we have had some Latter-day Saints make it sound that their means of being forgiven or cleansed of their sin is really nothing more than a confession and a trust in what Christ has done for them. Now, you may talk to Latter-day Saints who say that, but I don't think that that's what Mr. Haney believes, and I certainly don't think that's what a lot of the general authorities in the Mormon Church today believe. It's certainly much more than a simple faith in what Christ has done for sinful mankind on the cross at Calvary. So when he says we should not deceive ourselves about what it takes to return and remain in the presence of our Father in heaven, wouldn't you agree with me, Eric, that Mormons who make it sound like their forgiveness is very similar to what we feel is necessary for our forgiveness, that a Mormon saying that must be deceived if Mormonism is true, because that isn't what leaders have taught. In fact, he talks about at the beginning of this paragraph in the third column, standing outside while being sprayed off by my grandmother was unpleasant and uncomfortable. I take that as an analogy to the difficulty of repentance according to Mormonism. And we've mentioned Spencer Kimball in this series, and I think it's pertinent to mention Kimball again, because he does talk about how unpleasant and how uncomfortable a true repentance is going to be on the life of the penitent Latter-day Saint.
He says this in The Miracle of Forgiveness on page 149, and it's cited in Gospel Principles on page 109, and this is what it says. There is no royal road to repentance, no privileged path to forgiveness. Every man must follow the same course, whether he be rich or poor, educated or untrained, tall or short, prince or pauper, king or commoner. Quote, for there is no respect of persons with God, end quote, and that's from Romans 2:11. There is only one way. It is a long road spiked with thorns and briars and pitfalls and problems.
In the Teachings of Presidents of the Church, Spencer W. Kimball, and again, this is a correlated manual. This is put out by the LDS Church. It's vetted by the First Presidency, where Kimball in this book is cited as saying, there cannot any unclean thing enter into the kingdom of God, citing 1 Nephi 15:34. And again, no unclean thing can dwell with God, citing 1 Nephi 10, verse 21. To the prophets, the term unclean in this context means what it means to God. To man, the word may be relative in meaning, and we had mentioned this earlier in the week about it being one speck of dirt on a white shirt or dress. Is that often overlooked by Latter-day Saints? Because they may say, well, I'm really conquering all my big ones, but what about those little ones? Wouldn't that be the little speck that Kimball is talking about in this statement that is found in this correlated manual? I would think so. But when you ask a Latter-day Saint, are you sure you've truly repented, according to your definition, of every single sin? That would be that little speck that Kimball was talking about in that manual. How many Latter-day Saints do we know can honestly say in their heart that they have met that requirement? And why is this important, folks? It's important because of this. According to James Faust, who was a member of the First Presidency before he passed away, in a conference message that he gave called The Atonement, Our Greatest Hope, and this is found in the November edition of Ensign 2001 on page 19, he says, the atonement cleanses us of sin on condition of our repentance. Repentance is the condition on which mercy is extended. Now notice, in order to receive the mercy, you have to repent. Notice, mercy, which you would think would be an undeserved gift given to you, is something that you have to work for. Repentance is the condition on which mercy is extended. And then James Faust says, after all we can do to pay the uttermost farthing and make right our wrongs, the Savior's grace is activated in our lives through the atonement, which purifies us and can perfect us. Do you catch what he's saying here, folks? It's only after you've met the condition of repentance that you're going to get mercy. And what does that mean? He says, after all we can do to pay the uttermost farthing and make right our wrongs. So here you are doing all you can do. And then once you've done all that you can do, the Savior's grace is then activated in your life to forgive you of your sins. You have to keep the commandments and then you activate that Holy Spirit. Remember, grace has been defined in Mormonism as an enabling power. Once you've had this enabling power in your life and you meet all the conditions of doing all that you can do, then is that grace activated, James Faust says. If I was a Latter-day Saint and I understood exactly what they're saying, I would be very worried as to where I would be in light of eternity right now, because I think we all still struggle with sin. Hopefully, there may not be some of the big ones that we may have had when we first believed, but let's be serious. The closer we get to God, the more our sin becomes acute to us, and we see how serious it is in the eyes of an all-holy God. This is not something to trifle with. It's not something to take lightly. I think Kimball understands that. I just think Kimball's solution is far-fetched and unbelievable.
When we go to correlated curriculum, these are important works, and I'm looking at a couple right now that cite verses right out of the Doctrine and Covenants. This one from Doctrine and Covenants Student Manual Religion 324 and 325 from 2001, and this is on page 120. And it cites D&C, section 58, verses 42 through 43. And this is what it says. The Lord promises complete forgiveness to those who truly repent. The Lord forgives those who truly repent of their sins. This blessing comes through the atonement of Christ, who suffered for all that they might not suffer if they would repent. D&C 19:16. The Lord promises that he will no more remember the sins of those who repent. Repentance, however, requires that we forsake and turn completely from our sins and confess them.
I would say if you've accomplished that, that's great. The problem is I've never met someone who's accomplished that. Whether they be Latter-day Saint or even a professing Christian, that is something that we all struggle with. See, this sanctification process is just that. It's a process. It's going to take the rest of our lives. And I don't think we are ever going to say that we have successfully accomplished that setting apart in pure holiness unto God.
If you want to understand what the word forsaketh means, then you can go to a manual called The Doctrine and Covenants in Church History Seminary Student Guide from 2001, page 106. And it says, forsaketh means repents of, gives up, and never does again. And then Gospel Fundamentals, a manual from 2002, page 67, says, our Father in heaven does not sin, and he does not allow people who sin to live with him. To live with him, we must repent of our sins. To repent means to feel sorry for our sins and stop doing them.
Stop doing them. Now, he ends his short article with, because our Father in heaven loves us, his plan included the role of a Savior, someone who could help us become clean, no matter how dirty we have become. That phrase, help us become clean, when I think of someone helping me, I get the impression that they're coming alongside of me to engage in the work that I am doing. And I'm sure that's exactly how Mr. Haney is understanding that to be as well. Someone who could help us become clean. See, it's a synergistic thing going on here. It's not just Jesus, but it's you yourself that has to also perform the labors to make this thing accomplished.
Goes to 2 Nephi 25:23, we're saved by grace. After all we can do, you have to do your part for the grace to take effect.
So when he says towards the end of this article that Christ simply pleads with us to confess our sins and repent, he invites us to become clean so that we can once again enter the presence of our Father in heaven. Don't you think he's being a little simplistic there when he says, what does he ask in return? He simply pleads with us to confess our sins and repent. He didn't bring out the part of keeping all the commandments. Now, you might argue, well, doesn't true repentance in the context of Mormonism mean you are keeping all the commandments? Perhaps that's what he was intimating when he says this. But certainly, in the context of Mormonism, if a Latter-day Saint hopes to get the best that they believe God has for them, this is what's required of them. It's based not only in what Jesus did, and that would be in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he brings out D&C 19:18 in that last paragraph about Christ bleeding from every pore to pay for our sins. So it's a garden atonement in the context of Mormonism. But it's not just that. It's up to the Mormon to do the rest in order to activate that grace that they hope will cleanse them of their sin.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.